Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
What's up, Tar Heel fans? This is Taylor Vipolis, and you're either listening or watching my podcast that is a part of the Inside Carolina Podcast Network. Quick note before we get started today, if you aren't already, be sure to subscribe if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or watching on YouTube so you never miss out on any content that IC puts out. And if you could do us a favor, go ahead and leave a review. It's something that takes hardly any time, but as a staff, we at Inside Carolina would appreciate it. With that out of the way, we've got a Tar Heel joining me on the podcast today from ESPN. It's Charlie Hume, class of 2011, who's a part of the Levitard and Friends Network. Charlie, how are you doing today? You got a beautiful background for anybody that's watching on YouTube of Western North Carolina. So how's it going over there?
This place is amazing. I'm temporarily, like hopefully permanently out in Western North Carolina. My family has a place over in Cashers. But the good people at Western Carolina University have allowed me to use this gem of a facility that has faster internet than I've seen any facility anywhere. So I got a shout out Chad, Rory, and Noah for you know setting me up here. This place is amazing. So come visit Western North Carolina. Come out to Cullowhee. You'll love it out here.
You've got a podcast on the network where you cover the Challenge, the number one Challenge podcast on ESPN. It's the Challenge, for anybody who doesn't know, is an MTV show. So to start the podcast, I've got a two-part question for you. One, how would you explain to Tar Heel fans what the Challenge is for the people who have never seen the show? And two, what former or current Tar Heel would you like to see on the Challenge? Because I know you're a big Challenge guy.
Absolutely. So it's kind of funny how this podcast started. Really, it was born out of quarantine where we didn't have any live sports just to start it out. And we were all kind of looking, anyone who's in production, the media is looking to kind of do something creative or different during this time to kind of, you know, make use of it. And so it's myself, Billy Gill, who I'm sure a lot of people know from the Levitard show, Charlie Kravitz, who produces Highly Questionable, and Elizabeth Fearman, who does a lot of marketing stuff for ESPN, said, hey, like, let's do a podcast focusing on this show, which is basically, Charlie Kravitz calls it the fifth major sport in America. It's got lots of athletic elements of it, but there's, you know, it's a reality show. So you have, you know, all the drama, they're all living in the same house all the time. So we looked at this and we said, let's cover this like a sport. And at first it was kind of, you know, a bit of a silly show, but then we got about five episodes in, we started getting some really, not only great guests, but guests that had amazing athletic backgrounds. And so digging into that's been a lot of fun for us. And, you know, we're just kind of enjoying covering something now. I know live sports are coming back, but it's been, you know, hopefully it extends even past that. So this show, there are a lot of the physical elements, they're conducive to, you know, obviously anyone who has an athletics background, but if you are big and physical, especially for on the male side of things, you will do well in this show, in this format. So when we initially talked about this, first person that came to mind was a guy who played defensive end when I was in school at Carolina, Robert Quinn, because that dude would demolish. There's a guy on the show who played tight end at UT Chattanooga who's like 6'5", 240. And every guest that comes on our show is like, this guy's a monster. Like, you do not want to see him in any physical elimination. Like, Robert Quinn would destroy this guy. Because, I mean, anyone who watched him play knows, like, what a unique type of athlete he was. Not only, like, I had the chance to meet him a couple times in person, and I was just so struck by what a massive human being he was, but also how lean he was. And so, like, he just speed, power, everything. One of the things they do on the Challenge is something called a hall brawl, which is basically like an Oklahoma drill, where they put up these fiberglass hallways, and there are bells at either end of this little hallway. And you got to run through your opponent to get to the bell, ring it first to win. Robert Quinn would have a field day doing that in the Challenge. So I nominate him. That's who I would send in.
I could just imagine from the days I used to watch the challenge, the clip of CT where he's carrying bananas like a backpack, like Robert Quinn just dragging somebody along. But my answer for whenever I think of stuff like this, it's always former Tar Heel linebacker Shaquille Rashad. I just think he's a guy who was born for a reality TV show. Like, when you think of the athleticism, obviously, that comes with the challenge, but also the – you have to have a certain charisma, like a guy like Bananas, where, you know, he's not afraid to ruffle some feathers. He knows when the cameras are on, when to ramp it up. So that's where my mind initially went with a guy like Shaquille Rashad. What do you think about that choice?
That's a good call. I think that that's probably the part of it that I omitted. I'm just – I mean, and it's – it's the lens through which our show kind of looks at the challenge, where it's like, who are the biggest and best athletes? So we're not really factoring in as much the, you know, the psychological aspect of the game, the puzzle, stuff like that. Not saying Rob Quinn wouldn't be good at that, but that's a good call for that reason. Yeah, the CT backpack with bananas, you know, Rob would have been amazing at that. There's also a great clip that you can find where they did a teammate game where it was like basically you were taking balls from one end across the middle, like across, and you're wearing a football helmet. And so one team's going, like there's just basically an intersection, and CT's got like a famous line there where he just blows up one of the guys and he goes like, choo, choo. And so as soon as you mention this, I just like, man, Rob Quinn going across the middle there would have a field day. It would be amazing. Now I want it to happen.
Now you are all over the Le Batard Network on shows, whether it's the Mystery Crate with the Number One Challenge podcast, the Local Hour, you coming on talking about Animal Crossing, and even my favorite, Stupidity with Stu Gotts, where you interviewed Rory McIlroy and then Tom Brady right before he was getting ready for the match last month. So can you just kind of explain to people how you pulled that off, getting a guy like Rory and Tom Brady? Because I think that'll also go into your background and how you became a Tar Heel.
Yeah, there's no real sugarcoating this. This is all thanks to my grandfather, who was, I hope I don't have the year wrong, I think he was a 1956 graduate of Carolina. Was in the business school there. His name's Sam Reeves. And just an amazing human being. I've just been so lucky to be around my entire life and just soak up the things that seem to just emanate from him. And he has made a lot of amazing relationships through golf. And, you know, Tom and Rory are two of them. And so I had the idea with golf coming back first, and I was thinking we're doing these other sort of shows, like we should do something centered around golf. And so knowing that my granddad had golf contacts, the first thing I pitched him was, hey, what do you think? Do you think we can get Dustin Johnson on for this thing? And he goes, you know, I don't have a great relationship. Not that I don't have a great relationship with it, but I haven't talked to Dustin in a while. But like, how would Tom Brady and Rory McIlroy work? And I was like, yeah, we could probably build a show around that. We could probably do something with that. So I talked to Stu, and the interview with Tom was first, which was hilarious because literally it was my granddad and Tom coming off the golf course and holding a camera, and he gave us like 8 minutes. It was hilarious. And roasted Chris Cody for his background in his house. And then Rory was great. He sat with us for like maybe 25 minutes the next day through his own sort of Zoom call. But yeah, I really appreciate getting set up with those guys, but also it was fun to kind of talk to them about what relatable things that come out of quarantine. Like first thing we talked to Rory about was having a birthday in quarantine, and he had like a multiple milk bar cakes sent to him. And I love those portions of the shows where it's like, we're all doing this relatable thing of being on Zoom and trying to figure out tech problems and talking about, you know, celebrating birthdays in quarantine. So those shows were fun for that reason.
Yeah. I love everything that comes out on the Le Batard Network because of how relatable either the content is or how relatable you guys all make the guests feel. And for fans of the Le Batard Show, they might know you better by the nickname Old Money Charlie because of your grandfather. And Stu Gotts tells the story that you went to the Final Four to watch UNC play. You hopped on a PJ, a private jet, to see the Masters Sunday, and then you were back on the PJ to see UNC in the national championship for kind of like this ultimate sports weekend. And there's the old adage, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. And for fans of the show, they know that's especially true when it comes to Stu Gotts. So what is the validity to his claim right there?
Yeah, if it's believe half as a rule of thumb, it's maybe like believe 2% with Stu Gatz, right? he's exaggerated the story greatly, and I don't even. I think if I had to think back, because I think the real timeline was we did a Final Four Carolina game, and this was the year they lost to Villanova. And I'm even forgetting now who they played in the Final Four, but it was they won that game, and then we went to see a Warriors game against the Blazers on Sunday night, and we went back to see the national championship against Villanova on Monday, and then the Masters was that weekend, the following weekend, Thursday through Sunday, and I think I did Thursday, Friday. There's maybe a PGA involved in like one part of this trip. There was a lot of commercial. Like, if it's on my budget, we're flying like cheapest seat I can get, right? Like, not checking bags, that type of stuff. But yeah, and he had, you know, he's like, he was courtside at the Final Four. He's like, no, we were in regular seats. I will admit, we were courtside at the Warriors Blazers game, and Steph Curry is another golf buddy of my granddad's, and that was yet another insane moment where like Steph's in the zone, warming up, going through all the sort of routines, and spots my granddad, and like comes over, seeks him out, like daps him before the game, and I'm just like, who is this guy? Like, I learn a new thing about my granddad every day. So that was a pretty amazing week for sure.
That's awesome to hear. Now that the audience has gotten to know you a bit better, let's move on to the main topic we're covering today. It's a fun hypothetical that I put out on Twitter a while ago. It's if you could trade any school in the ACC for a school in another conference, what move would you make? You don't have to worry about fairness. It's like when you used to play those old sports games and you would turn on forced trades to just kind of load up your team. So, when these are all factors that you have to consider: academic prestige, athletic success, the fan bases, the home atmospheres, how fun a road trip would be there. So these are all things you got to keep in the back of your mind. So sounds easy enough, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dig into it.
All right. So first we're going to go through some of the ones people submitted on Twitter and give our thoughts on them. And if we go over one of the schools that we would have chose to send in or send out, you can mention it there, but the most popular one by far was trading in Maryland. And Stephen Lord said Boston College for Maryland. Jonah Lasaya said Pittsburgh for Maryland. And Mike Fortuna said Louisville for Maryland. So what do you think about the overall concept of bringing Maryland back to the ACC?
Before I get in that, I think Mike Fortuna is a Levitard Show fan. I recognize that name somewhere. So for sure. shout out to you. I would say, so I agree with, I think the Stephen Lord who said he's trading out Boston College. I think that's probably the layup for everybody. You know, if you're a Boston College fan, I'm really sorry. I think it's interesting because I think the idea with Boston College is corner the Northeastern market, right? You know, in the same way that, you know, theoretically Syracuse does that same sort of thing. And I think the miss there maybe is, and it's by no fault of Boston College's, but it seems like the Northeastern college environment is pretty fragmented, and there are all these different schools. Maybe you have people from certain families who went to a school forever, so they choose that way. And also, I think that the athletics of those schools aren't necessarily elite, and so maybe the fan allegiances go more towards the four pro sports franchises that obviously have a rabid fan base. So I think you definitely swap out Boston College, and then I'd say for Maryland, I mean, the two layups obviously are bring Maryland back and make Notre Dame a full member with football, right? I don't hate it. I think Maryland gives you a mid-Atlantic presence. You know, I don't know if you want me to get into like my pick right now, but I would say, yeah, I have no objection to that. But I was thinking a little bit, I got a little more creative with my school that I'm bringing in.
All right. Let me just cover the Maryland aspect, and I might touch on the Boston College aspect too. But my first thought with Maryland was it was just a lot of nostalgia where people are like, we just want the old ACC back. But the more I started thinking of it, Maryland has been one of the most fun teams to watch in college basketball the past couple of years with a guy like Anthony Cohen, Jalen Smith. I think Coach Turgeon is just a guy who is always going to keep Maryland as a competitive team. But then you start thinking about them being the football aspect of it, and you're basically getting a bottom tier Power 5 school when it comes to Maryland. They have had one winning season since joining the Big Ten. So it's a tough ask to bring them back into the ACC. They just don't really seem like they have much direction when it comes to football. But they do offer a lot when it comes to basketball, and it would be exciting to get them back. You get the SVP factor in and bringing a big name like him. And then just quickly going back to Boston College, somebody else mentioned it earlier before. I have it written down here, but he was like, I'll help Boston College pack their bags for them because they offer next to nothing when it comes to football or basketball. For football, it's been like 15 years since they were that perennial top 25 team. And the best Boston College moment I can think of the past 10 years is the clip of Steve Adazio in the bleachers where he's like, what's better than this? Guys being dudes.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
So it's like, then you factor in, it's not really, like, Boston is a fun city to go to, but it's not a fun atmosphere for fans. And you know, their home court advantage, and for people who are watching, who are listening, I'm doing the air quotes when I say home court advantage, because their home court advantage is basically they're lulling you to sleep. So I could see a scenario where you trade Boston College for a Maryland.
Yeah, I have no objection with I'm glad someone put it, used the stronger words than I would have. But yes, if you need help packing Boston College's bags, I'd be happy to find some time in my schedule. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and Maryland is also, when you're looking, I was also looking at the best national universities from U.S. News, and Maryland is the 64th best university, so you are getting a little bit of academic there. What did you think about sending Louisville out? Because let me just read you the best national universities from the ACC and where they rank, and then I'll mention Louisville. So you have Florida State, 57th, Virginia, 28th, Duke, 10th, Georgia Tech, 29th, NC State, 84th, Syracuse, 57th, Notre Dame, you get the asterisk because they're not technically in for football, but it's 15th, Clemson, 70th, Miami, 57th, Boston College, 37th, Virginia Tech, 74th, Wake Forest, 27th, Pitt, 57th, North Carolina, 29th, Louisville, 192nd.
I mean, no disrespect to the compilers of this guidebook of college. Like, I'm certain I bought your book and thumbed through it as I was hoping to make a college decision. So, you know, you have my money at some point along the line. But, you know, I think, at least for me, and maybe I'm taking this, you know, too much from a sports perspective, but Louisville gives you, you know, very solid to good basketball, right? I mean, they have, you know, whether or not that the program legacy is tainted by Pitino or whatever else, like, it's a pretty solid program and kids, you know, are still inclined to go there. And I think from a football angle too, I mean, it's not, you know, maybe not like a traditional powerhouse. We just saw Lamar Jackson there. And I think it's one of those schools where, you know, I get, you know, Kentucky maybe is the more kind of, I mean, literally the blue blood program in that state. But I think that that's a nice place to have a foothold. And I think that, okay, maybe the academics aren't great, but there's excitement there. There's excitement there from an athletics perspective. And I'm willing to let them, you know, work on the academics if that's what we need to happen. Like, I will say it this way. Like, I'd much rather to send 37th ranked Boston College on their way than 192nd ranked Louisville.
Yeah, I think Louisville, like you mentioned, Louisville's what they bring on the athletic fields is enough to offset their academic ranking. You have guys like Peyton Siva, Russ Smith, Donovan Mitchell, Jordan Nwora, and Chris Mack has done a fairly good job, except for that one game against Duke where they choked like a 20-point lead or whatever, where Zion was just hawking them down. And then football, like you mentioned, I think Scott Satterfield is the right guy for a program like that, where if UNC doesn't hire Mack Brown, I think Scott Satterfield would have been a nice choice because he does have them trending. So I'm with you there. Moving to the next trade, somebody suggested it's Andre Smith, former Tar Heel linebacker. I don't know where he's coming from this one, but he's sending out Pittsburgh and he's bringing in UCF.
Oh,
he's a Florida guy.
Yeah, I get it. Like, there's a little bit of the UCF recency bias, which, hey, look, you know, I'm here to accept creative suggestions. Like, let's think outside the box here. I think that, hey, I'll say it, like, that's interesting from the perspective of you have Florida State, you have Miami. Maybe UCF isn't a historical power, but the program is trendy, at least now, for kids who are in high school and the recruits. And so maybe you give them some regional rivals, especially, you know, in the central part of the state, and maybe, you know, it becomes, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, I could see that angle.
Yeah, I kind of like the thought of UCF. Now, going back to their academic ranking, it's 166. But again, if you're good on the field, I'm willing to look past that to a certain extent. They kind of have that, like, little brother feeling right now, where they're just looking for that chance to prove themselves against the big competition. So that's a game I'm really looking forward to. Yes. When North Carolina goes down to Orlando. And I've recently started to notice that the UCF fans, especially on this tweet, they were pretty loud in kind of saying that they felt that they belong in a conference like the ACC. So I think you're going to get a chance to see them play early September. Yeah, that's right. Hopefully if the season happens according to plan, but I think UCF is an interesting team to keep an eye on. Going to the next suggestion, Arnold Rothstein said Boston College, which we could all agree, for Penn State.
So this is an interesting one. So, my wife, played soccer at Virginia Tech, but she's from like the Lehigh Valley area in Pennsylvania originally. And so we were talking about this podcast, and she obviously is in the ACC. So I'm like, I'm curious what your opinion is. And she was like, I think Penn State would be a great ad. Like, and for me at face value, I'm looking at like the profile of schools. And if you're showing me like a blind resume, do they look like an ACC school? I'm like the guy, the anime guy with the butterfly meme. Like, is this an ACC school? And so I think the thing about Penn State is at first glance, it doesn't feel like that, but then you kind of dig into it a little more. And, you know, the other important part of the ACC is you have a lot of these schools that have just a depth of great programs across, you know, both men's and women's sports, you know, and Olympic sports and, you know, non-revenue sports, whatever you want to call it. So Penn State is very much that way. I think they have like a super competitive volleyball program, good wrestling program, good women's soccer program. And, you know, they'd get dumped on in basketball like every year. They'd be the doormat of the ACC. But I think football, obviously, they'd be, and I think that it's an interesting pitch for a lot of schools that are conferences where there are other more traditional football powers in them. Not to say that Penn State is not one, but you bring them to the ACC where maybe they can truly dominate. Maybe that breathes life into their program a little bit, because they've had a few down years. And that's a little teaser for the suggestion I'm going to ultimately give you. But I think Penn State is an intriguing fit. I kind of like that one.
Yeah, I do like Penn State. Just going quickly off what you mentioned, James Franklin's done a pretty good job, but kind of looking for, like you had mentioned, that next step that they can take. And maybe it would be going to a conference like the ACC. And you look at their fans, they have one of the most passionate fan bases. Now, you could say they're kind of crazy or kind of almost cult-like with their following, but they are passionate. They pack their stadium every week. It would be a fun trip, even though it's cold. I'm kind of out on football games once it starts getting too cold, like sitting out there. But Penn State, when you're surrounded by 100,000 people, it's a good environment to go to a game. And basketball, they wouldn't be that Virginia, North Carolina, Duke type of program, but they're a team that's kind of trending in the right direction, I think. I'm pretty sure they were, before this season obviously got canceled, I think they were a team that was in the field. So Penn State would be an interesting choice, not my choice. But moving to the next top, the next person, Edgar Walker says Louisville for Navy.
Louisville for Navy, that's interesting. I think this is the Edgar Walker I know. I think I know this. I'm going to text him because that is an insane suggestion. I've got no idea where he's coming from. I mean, I don't really know how to approach that. I mean, I feel like Navy is, no disrespect to Navy, but I just feel like is Navy's independent? Are they not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just don't, I think if you're a military institution, you kind of want to keep it that way. I don't know. I guess, okay. If I'm trying to play devil's advocate for the suggestion, maybe what I'm saying is you lost Maryland. You don't have a mid-Atlantic presence as much as you used to. So Navy, theoretically, in Annapolis fills this, but that's about as far as I can take you on that one.
Yeah. I think, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because we spent so long getting the triple option out of the ACC with Paul Johnson finally leaving Georgia Tech. I don't want to bring it back in. Like, I love Navy's coach, Ken Niumatalotu, but right now the ACC is good without the option. Wouldn't you agree?
I very much agree. Let's keep it modern in the ACC. We like it this way now. We just got our nice things. Don't take them away.
So the next suggestion is from Brent Cotton, who says Boston College for Kentucky.
Okay. So this is an intriguing one. You know what? I'm going to segue into my suggested school because it's just, I can't do it. I can't respond to this prompt without doing so. Kentucky was actually the first place that I went, because to go back to what we were just talking about, you look at the profile of Kentucky, you know, at least in those two major programs, say elite basketball school with a great history and, you know, decent to sometimes good football program that, given the right set of circumstances, and the SEC certainly are not those set of circumstances, could grow and recruit, maybe even be a good football program. So that to me looks and feels like an ACC school. But then I thought more about it and I'm like, do we really just want to make this like an all-out basketball conference and say we're going to punt on elite football? And so that's what led me to Tennessee. I think Tennessee is the perfect fit. Maybe it's a little bit of the bias of being in Western North Carolina, being a nearby neighbor to Tennessee. But I think Tennessee is such a perfect fit for the ACC because, in talking about Penn State, like, you know, you have a program that used to be, you know, proud and dominant, and they're trying to kind of rehabilitate it and maybe grow it back into what it you know, could be. Tennessee, you take them into the ACC where it's theoretically less competitive from a football perspective. They seemingly would be able to have an easier time recruiting against those schools, even if that's at the expense of Carolina, probably also Virginia Tech. But you could kind of get that program back to those kind of borderline losses or, you know, become wins, and they are a top 10 program again. And then I think they do have a great spread of other sports that would fit well in a competitive environment with every other ACC school, including basketball. Like basketball, you know, not on a Kentucky level, but certainly a respectable program that could contend for, you know, whichever division they may be, the ACC, given, you know, the right set of circumstances. So I like Kentucky. I really do. And they'd be like at the top of my short list. But in looking at those SEC schools, particularly the ones that are good at basketball, that's where my nod goes to Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee is definitely an interesting one. It's one that Jason Spell tweeted. He said Wake Forest for Tennessee. So Tennessee, just off the top of my head, Tennessee was on my short list because of how fun a trip to Knoxville would be. Like, you see, yes, you see the checkered, the orange and white in their end zones. It's just like one of those programs that you think of when you think of college football. And even though they're in the down years, they do have a good history with the program, with guys like T. Martin and Peyton Manning, where the more you were talking about Tennessee, the more I was like, you know what, I can be kind of sold on Tennessee. And they've had pretty good basketball success the past couple of seasons where – you can justify it, but let's move on to where I was going to say. Now, I'm going – I guess it's because I'm more of a football background, but I was going more football, and I was thinking of, you know, where I would have fun on a game, who brings a good fan base, who has academic prestige, and I'm going the same one as L. Patterson III, Boston College for Georgia. What do you think about George?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, let's make it Alabama while we're at it. Like, yeah. I mean, I guess maybe I was too realistic. I thought, you know, my Tennessee, but I mean, Georgia, absolutely. Are you kidding me? And I think that the ball school too, like not definitely not like consistent success, but they popped up in the tournament here and there. And yeah, and the football would be, I mean, yeah. Road trips to Athens, be unreal. I'm always here for it.
Have you ever been to Athens? Because I've always heard it's like Chapel Hill, but just in Georgia.
I've never been. I had a kind of like a second cousin that went, and I'm sick. I never visited. But I tell you what, if you make this conference swap happen, I'm with you on the road trip. You know, I got to ask me twice. But I mean, yeah, I think that's, you know, and kind of what you're back on the Tennessee thing a bit with what you were saying about the road trips to Knoxville be incredible. And like even without conference alignment, like why not do a little home and home? Yeah. Given the current state of our program and the current state of theirs, that seems to make almost, you know, too much sense. I guess the only thing you'd say is if you have a tough schedule, especially with Tennessee and the SEC, you don't want to make it any tougher. But I would love this. Whether or not we can lure Tennessee over, both those games would be amazing as non-conference games, you know, as well.
Sticking to the SEC, so we've talked Georgia, we've talked Tennessee, we've talked Kentucky. What about Boston College for South Carolina. That's what Thrifty Heel says.
That's actually a really good one too. I mean, that's another one where and it's funny, like all these, you know, a lot of these, you know, schools that aren't like I guess you just think of as there's no way you can remove them from the SEC. So like an Alabama or like a Florida or someone like that. So then when you start getting into these schools, they're like, yeah, they're definitely ingrained in SEC culture, but maybe not as much as some of the other ones. South Carolina is another one where pretty solid basketball program, has had great success in recent years. You know, a football program that, you know, has had success, but also has had some kind of tough luck playing against really tough SEC teams. You put them in the ACC, maybe they do a little bit better. You know, I loved the opener we played. I mean, you know, I loved it because we won, because we launched Sam Howell's amazing career. But I mean, you know, that's a fun game. Like that's, you know, and it's two fan bases that kind of like to get after each other a little bit. So that's another great suggestion.
Yeah, I love Frank Martin over there at South Carolina basketball, and then like you mentioned, South Carolina football. It just feels like North Carolina and South Carolina should just play every year.
Yes.
Start the year off, or maybe end the year with that game, because if you give South Carolina the option right now of who they play at the end of the year, North Carolina or Clemson, I'm pretty sure a lot of them would be saying, get us North Carolina, please.
Yes.
But yeah, after what Sam Howell did, it's like, be careful what you wish for.
Exactly. I mean, I'm, you know, I love Sam Howell so much. I'm probably like far too in on Sam Howell at this point, but I think that, you know, yeah, I mean, we're going to be a problem for a lot of teams. I'll be sick if, you know, I mean, understanding the circumstances, I don't want to make light of, you know, how grave a situation we're in, but I mean, to lose, you know, one of theoretically only 2 years we have left with Sam would make me very sad. So I hope in some way, shape or form, we can get that program on the field this fall.
All right, I just want to take a quick break here so I can remind everyone about Johnny T-Shirt, locally owned to Chapel Hill. Johnny T-Shirt has you covered for all things Carolina apparel. Father's Day is this Sunday, and unless you could make it there to Chapel Hill by Sunday, you've probably already missed that window to go to Johnny T-Shirt. But don't worry, Johnny T-Shirt will still be open after Father's Day, so you can return what you got your dad or that father in your life and get him something he truly wants, and that's more Carolina gear, whether it's athletic wear, jerseys, football shirts for this upcoming season. Johnny T-Shirt has you covered, and they've got the best customer service where you know you're getting the best price and the best customer service 24/7. And don't forget, Inside Carolina premium subscribers save 10% off their orders.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
What do you think about Gary Strickland tweeted in this trade, Miami for Florida?
I mean,
doesn't that just kind of feel like, you know, you're 6 1/2 dozen the other? I just butchered that saying. I don't know what I was going for there, but just to me, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of difference there. And I do think, you know, obviously Miami came from the Big East, right? So it's not like Miami's steeped in ACC tradition, but I do feel like Florida is that way in the SEC. And it's really hard to say, you know, we're just going to tear all that up. I mean, a counterpoint to that is it's what Syracuse did with the Big East. We've seen that with other schools that came over from different places. So it can be done. But to me, it just seems like you start to kind of grow some Miami rivalries. I mean, some of the memories we've had on the football field against Miami, you know, in recent years have been great. So you're starting to kind of build that. And so swapping it for Florida feels like, you know, I don't know, I guess.
If you trade Florida in, I feel like you have to keep Miami. Just like
right.
keep more Florida rivalries. And then like you mentioned, Miami, there, I get why like UNC fans might not like Miami. It's because every year they come in, every year the media is telling you this is the year Miami's kind of figure out how to win the Coastal. And then every year come December, they are kind of the laughing stock among college football. And you spent some time in Miami and you were around a lot of Miami fans. Is there any fan base that the perception versus reality of their team is further off than the Miami fan base?
I mean, there are obviously like several out there that we could probably identify. I think, you know, maybe I'm just going to go ahead and get in hot water with everyone. You know, Texas, obviously you could probably say that. Yeah. I've just rolled out the welcome mat for Tennessee and I don't want to damage that relationship now, but maybe you could say that as well. But yeah, Miami's a funny place. It's a wild place. And the year I lived there was unlike anything else I've ever experienced. But Billy Gill, who is on the Levitard Show and who's one of the co-hosts of our Challenge podcast, does this great like peepo impression that I think kind of made some waves last year. And it's just such a great encapsulation of the Miami fan psyche where, and in some ways I kind of love it because, you know, I try not to be obnoxious, but that's the belief I have in Carolina football every single year, no matter how many times they hurt me, or how many times they let me down. I'm like, we're going to be amazing this year. I believe in the guys on our team. And so you like that, but I do think that there's, you know, you can admit, you can say, okay, maybe we're overmanned here. Maybe this game's going to be tough. Whereas Miami just thinks that, you know, Michael Irvin's still running out to play every single Saturday. It's just not the case.
And Manny Diaz is trotting out the new Miami, and they lose 3 straight games. Duke, FIU, Louisiana Tech. The new Miami is here, baby.
The funny thing about Manny Diaz is, I don't know, I guess this was part of like his whole deal when they covered his games, but he was like a PA at ESPN. Like, I think Manny and I did the same job at some point, right? And so it's just so I have such a hard time looking at him and thinking this guy could be an elite college football coach because, just knowing what, like, I couldn't be an elite college football coach. So certainly Manny Diaz can't possibly be. So I don't know. I feel like the way he's gone about that program building it is a little odd to me at times. But, you know, I don't think he's going to be long for that job, unfortunately, for Canes fans.
One of the last trade suggestions from fans, it's from Kay Oaken. He says, Wake Forest for West Virginia. What do you think about bringing West Virginia in?
West Virginia would be a great one. I know that, like, if you're, you know, if you're an apologist for the state of North Carolina, you kind of have to defend Wake. And so I kind of feel that a little bit, but West Virginia really opens you up too. If you're talking about like rabid fan bases, I mean, a West Virginia, Virginia Tech game every year would be insanity. I mean, and literally they had to stop playing the game for however many years. I went to the first one they had at FedEx Field after all these years without the rivalry with my wife, and it was nuts. And so I was thinking like, wow, this would be a great add to the division. But yeah, so I mean, that, and then, you know, I'm sure that just having another school in that Virginia area, if you're talking about geographically creating rivalries, you know, and then even, you know, further out, you know, if you're adding, I guess you can't add West Virginia and Tennessee, but just that whole kind of moving away from the coast a little bit and doing some rivalries there, that would be a great add for that. But I think that's a solid suggestion as well.
West Virginia was my initial choice. Then I started kind of thinking about it more, and they're the 228th school for the best university. So if some people have a problem with bringing Louisville, they're going to raise fits for bringing in West Virginia. But they do have everything, like you mentioned, a basketball and football program that should be close to top 25. Coach Huggins is probably one of my favorite college basketball coaches. But, yeah, the academic part, this might be where I kind of draw the line.
This is it. This is the spot. I was going to say, I love like the integrity that you brought to this list where you're like, I'm committed to staying aligned with the best colleges list. I tell you what, we're going to hire a bunch of tutors, Taylor. We're going to just invest a ton of money. We're going to bring these schools in. We're going to build up their academic departments, and it's all going to work out in this grand realignment vision we have.
Yeah. West Virginia is where I unfortunately had to draw the line, or that would have been my pick, 227th or higher, and you could join the conference for me. But sorry to
Real
West Virginia.
Hate now, to see West Virginia.
This is one that a lot of people suggested. Who they were trading out always varied, but a lot of people said to trade out NC State. Mm-hmm. Now, is that just Carolina fans just kind of wanting NC State fans out? Because I don't think that's something that a lot of Carolina fans would realistically do, because they enjoy too much the dominance in the rivalry.
That's it. I mean, that's literally it. I think that's what kind of fans and rivalries fail to remember sometimes, is you don't have the rivalry without the other side. And so I should just full disclosure here. So my mother went to Duke, my grandmother went to Duke. So my perspective of Duke is maybe different from someone who grew up in a family of all Carolina fans. They grew up hating Duke their entire life. But to me, I look at Duke and I say, of course, I hate them. Of course, I want them to lose. But at the same time, like, I have a begrudging respect in a school like that, because we're like the yin and the yang. Like, we can't exist without the other one. And now, I don't feel that about NC State. And I love that they're sort of the stepchild of sorts that we get to kind of pick on. But at the same time, I think, you know, every rivalry is different in nature. That's what makes them so fun and unique, and you know what gets people so interested in them. And I think the NC State rivalry is—it's almost like less respectful, more of just like, we just want to bludgeon you every single year and dismantle your program. And I think if you ship NC State off, it's like, it's almost like the Maryland thing in some ways, where Maryland got so tired of the alleged, you know, Carolina Duke bias, and they wanted to pack their bags and leave. And then you kind of forget like how much you enjoyed that animosity. Yeah. I want that. I like having State around so we can beat up on them all the time.
Yeah, I definitely am agreeing with you there. It's something from when I was a player, I wouldn't trade those games against NC State for anything. I know the fan base is going to say and kind of flex their muscles on Twitter saying that they don't want them there, or they want to replace them with a school like UNC Greensboro. But right now, for where this rivalry is, with Roy Williams basically winning, you know, 30 something of the past like 40 games, it's something that I know UNC fans wouldn't really give up if given the chance. And the last suggestion I want to give you before letting you get out of here is, now this one, it's the basketball only route, but would you consider bringing in Villanova, and you get the Villanova UNC game every year, the Villanova Duke game every year, Villanova Virginia every year, but at the same time you have no football because they're a Division I AA team?
That's intriguing, and it's, you know, I think a lot of this stuff is it's kind of interesting to like put yourself in the mind of like the ACC commissioner, like how you're going to build this thing out, what it's going to constitute, where you're going to get value out of your TV contracts. So if you said, hey, we're good on football, we're as good as we're going to get, let's really try to bolster the basketball side, I love the argument. And it's also probably, it aligns with the Penn State suggestion in terms of the market you're targeting. But, you know, you said a lot of what it is, where it's just, you know, it's a basketball only move. I'd be intrigued to see what that rivalry would feel like, because I think you can kind of, you know, guess or, you know, assume what it would be like if you brought like a Georgia or a Tennessee or a West Virginia, and you kind of know the fan base, you know how it'd be. I think it would be interesting to see how a rivalry would develop with Carolina and a Villanova or a Duke, because they're different places. Although I guess, you know, theoretically Duke and Villanova are the same places in terms of your fan base. So, but yeah, that's an intriguing one. I kind of like that thought. That's a unique angle.
The tough part for the UNC side of this is if you bring a team like Villanova in and you're engaging more with their fan bases, they always have the ultimate trump card against you 2016, unless, you know, you play again in the national championship and you're able to beat them. So I think that's one aspect that you have to consider if you're Carolina is, do you really want to start interacting with Villanova fans more?
But it gives you a little more juice, right? Because okay, yeah, you're on lower footing, but I think, you know, rather than just bringing it to school where you're like, you know, whatever, I guess, you know, it takes some time to build it up. They're coming in and there's already a bullseye on both of our backs going both ways. So yeah, I like it. I'm intrigued. The more we talk about it, the more I'm warming up on it.
But that's all I got for you, Charlie, today. Thanks again for getting on here today. I had fun talking with you. I like this chemistry between us. I think this is something that we might have to try out more often as I get more topics in my head.
I love it. I mean, as long as they'll let me continue to use this amazing press box at Western Carolina University, I am here for it.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.